Well, good morning and welcome to everyone who's with us here in the room. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on Facebook. We are so glad and honored that you're here with us this morning. This morning we have determined that we believe God is leading us to give an evangelistic call this morning, to call people to repentance, to come to know Jesus. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Most times when we meet together, almost always, we meet together to encourage believers, those who already know Him, to live as He's called us to live. And so that's our main focus in this meeting, but we do feel that this meeting this day and three other times at least this year that we're going to give an evangelistic message that is specifically geared towards calling people to Jesus, because that's where your walk in Christ begins, is when you first come to know Him. So we can't disciple goats, we have to disciple sheep. So this is a message this morning intended to cause people to depart from their sin and turn to Jesus and become those who then need to be discipled. So once again, we thank you that you're with us this morning. It's an honor always to preach the Word of God. It's not a light thing. There's a lot of soul searching, a lot of praying, a lot of seeking God, a lot of time in His Word in order to honor Him by doing this. And it's an honor for me to be before you this morning. Before I get into the Word, I want to, Daniel, if you will, have play a a little YouTube clip. And this song is by Evie Turnquist. She later on got married. She was Swedish in background, and she ended up married someone, I can't remember what his nationality was, it might have been Danish, but Carlson. And her name now, and has been for many years, Evie Turnquist Carlson. But at this time, she was just a young girl before she got married. And I want you to hear this song. It should play on the Facebook Live feed. I hope that it does. I will fire Daniel if it doesn't. But and then we'll get into the message. So let's play it, Daniel.
I don't suppose any artist came on as vivacious and as alive as Evie did back in the 70s. What a precious young lady she was. She was everybody's sweetheart. And here she is singing one of her big songs.
Tonight at CNE Stadium, and He's here in your home while you're watching television. He is still the answer. So reach out to Him. Give Him all. Give them all to Jesus. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Just wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life and
we back to me, Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this morning, I pray that each and every one of us, those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a while, or those of you who have not yet begun that journey, I pray that this day that we will give our all to Him. All of our sorrows, broken dreams, shattered dreams and broken toys, give our whole life to Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read here from verses 11 through 14. Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter, verses 11 through 14. My title to you this morning is Three Shades of Lost. And that'll become more clear as we go through this. Three Shades of Lost. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It is not the will of God that anybody should perish and leave this earth without Him. It is not His will that any of you should stay on this earth in this life and live it without the comfort and the peace and the joy that He brings. The forgiveness of sins and the transformation of your very heart and soul. He said, the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. What is lost? Well, lost is one of the many terms that God uses to describe the condition of every man, woman, yes, and boy and girl, who is living apart from Jesus and from His will for their lives. That's who is lost. If you're living apart from Jesus today and apart from Him and from His will for your life, the Bible says you're lost, but He's looking for you. Other terms regarding that condition is foolish. These are biblical terms, and these are just a few. Other terms are foolish, rebellious, sinner, unrighteous, ungodly, unholy, undone, wicked, cursed, damned, doomed, and without hope in this world. And let me say also, without hope eternally. See, lost is a condition of the human heart that doesn't know the Lord. Not someone who can't find their way to the church building. That person may be physically lost, but we're talking about people who are spiritually lost. But someone who can't find their way to Jesus, to their purpose, to their lifelong God-given purpose. They can't find their way to their God-intended life. Sin is the problem. It's the root cause. Wide is the road that they are traveling on. Accepting of anything and everything. A wide road. Lots of people, lots of things, lots of ideas, lots of philosophies. Anything and everything can fit on this road that people are traveling on that lead to destruction. And pain and destruction, those are, in this life, are road signs, warning of worse things to come. It doesn't matter how bad your life is today, if you continue to walk down that road, it can and will get worse. Jesus said to the man who was healed, he told him, take up your bed and walk. He later on saw him in the temple, and he said, be careful that a worse thing doesn't come upon you. Worse things can happen if we don't live for Jesus and completely surrender to His Lordship. Jesus said about the man who was demon-possessed and delivered of a demon. And he talked about how he swept the house, but it laid empty. He didn't fill his life with the Holy Spirit and with the will of God in his life. And later on, seven demons came back, which was much worse than the one original one. Things can and do get worse in this life. And then hell, eternal damnation and separation from God and all that is good. That's the final destination of someone who is lost and on the wrong road, on the wide road, ignoring the warning signs of pain and destruction. Hell is the final destination. Lost things are separated from the place where they belong. Now, something that is lost is not something that has never been discovered. A vein of gold deep down in the earth's surface that has never been discovered is not lost. It's just undiscovered. That's not what a lost thing is. Something that is lost was once found, was once discovered, was once possessed, was once owned, and once prized and cherished. Lost things are separated from the place where they belong. Things that are valued have a place, and they have a possessor. They are no longer held, protected, or lovingly possessed. That's what a lost thing is and a lost person is. They are not in a position where they are held by the Lord, protected by the Lord, and lovingly possessed by Him. Turn with me now, if you will, to Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So here we see Jesus gathering together with lost people. The scribes and Pharisees said they were sinners, but the Bible also, as we said earlier, calls people that are lost sinners as one of the terms that describes what's going on within them. They have transgressed the law of God. They have departed from His will. They are not in His protective care. But that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love them. And if you're here this morning, or if you're watching online, if you're in that condition, if you're lost, that does not mean that Jesus does not love you. He does deeply love the lost. And He is still seeking for the lost to save them from their sin. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Not to just look on in disgust. Not to just look on and say, "I can't wait for you to get before me in judgment. I've got a lightning bolt ready and waiting for you." That's not the heart of God. The Lord is not wanting anybody to perish. He wants everyone to come to Him, turn to Him, and to save them. Now let's skip down to verse 8 through 10. We'll come back to 3 through 7 in a minute. But remember, the title of this message is Three Shades of Lost. In verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece, or the coin, which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Again, we're hearing the heart of God. We're seeing that these Pharisees are disgusted with the fact that Jesus took time to eat with sinners, seeking the lost in order to come beside them so he could speak truth into their life and perhaps see them turn to him and save them. And he begins to give examples of the heart of God concerning the lost. We skipped over the lost sheep. We'll go back to that in a minute. We're beginning with a lost coin. This coin was lost. This lady couldn't find it. She looked everywhere for it. You know, the coin did not lose itself. Each of us start off in life as a lost coin. We're lost because of sin that was passed on to us generationally and because of the fall of Adam when he and Eve sinned in the garden. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's how sin and death and being lost has come to us early on. As we're born into sin. So all of us start off life as a lost coin. We didn't do anything ourselves yet to deserve it, but we're lost. But that lost coin represents more than just being lost by sin nature. It's also being lost in our understanding of what God's will for us is in this life, in our understanding of His love, and an understanding of what could be possible. The lost coins in this life are children brought up in ungodly homes who are exposed to drugs and alcohol abuse as little children, immorality. I remember one guy saying, the woman that lives next to us must be married to a used car salesman because every day outside her house is a different car. People grow up in homes where that happens. Physical and emotional and sexual abuse committed upon these children, these innocent children who didn't ask for it and didn't deserve it, but were brought up in homes where these things take place. And who are the ones who aid in these coins being lost? Well, they're bad or evil parents that commit these things upon their children or do not protect their children from it. You children today who have parents who guard you and guard things coming into your life, are there acting as God's servants on your behalf to protect you from things that other kids don't have that protection from? Instead of getting upset with your parents for that, thank them for it. The lost coins of life don't have that. They even have sometimes bad or evil grandparents. There's also other bad or evil family members lurking around, coming around, and friends, so-called friends, neighbors, teachers, others in trusted positions or positions of influence that are not using their power that God has given them for good, but to take advantage of these young children who can't take care of themselves. People, some of you here today and some of you listening may have been one of these lost coins who grew up in a situation where things were done to you that you didn't ask for. You were treated in ways that demeaned you and tore you down. The Lord knows that. He understands that. His heart breaks for you and for what you've gone through. If you are a lost coin this morning, here are two important truths that I pray that you listen and that you know. You are valuable to Jesus. So valuable that He is looking for you even now. And He may be calling out to you now. And He will never stop looking. Another thing I want you to understand is others may have sinned against you, but you must take responsibility for your own sins. God knows what others have done to you, but He also knows how you have transgressed His law. You may have had a bad start. You may have had people that didn't help you but hurt you. But you can't blame everything that's going on in your life on others. Because at some point, God has given you a conscience, and you know when you violate that conscience, that inner voice of the Lord on the inside saying, don't go there. They may have hurt you, but don't live in hate. Don't live in unforgiveness. Don't take matters in your own hands. Regardless of what others have done and what others may be continuing to do, I love you. Come to me. You are responsible to hear the voice of God and respond to it. Let's skip back up to verse 4. That was the lost coin. Remember, there's three shades of lost we're talking about this morning. Verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, and if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here we see the parable of the lost sheep. These are not those who had things done to them necessarily. These are those who did it to themselves. They're sheep that under the power of their own four feet wandered off. But it was not really premeditated, not intentional. They were just not being careful. They had a false sense of security. Perhaps even they were naive. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means looking all around, being careful. Careful of what you're going, careful of what you're taking in, careful of who you're following. Careful of the terrain around you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. See, a lost sheep does not make a run for it. After planning his escape for days on end, it is led astray because it followed its desires, one nibble at a time. Head down, in its own little world, completely oblivious to the fact that safety is getting further and further away and danger is getting ever closer. The lost sheep will wake up one day and think, how did I get here? And how did my life end up like this? How did I get in this mess? No one took that sheep there. They may have followed others, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but no one forced them to go. It was their own lack of being circumspect and being wise. It was their own foolishness, following their own desires. It is important to note that some people become lost sheep because they are following a lost sheep. A boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm not proud of this. I say it to my shame, but I say it in order to help people who need it. I remember going to a youth crusade when I was a teenager. And I was with a girl that I was dating at the time. And at this crusade, this youth crusade, the evangelist that was speaking there was talking about purity. Relational, sexual purity amongst teenagers, those who aren't married. And I was doing everything I can. He was speaking and preaching, and there was a lot of conviction in the air. You could just sense it. And I was doing everything I can to distract her from what was being said, because I didn't want her to hear it, believe it, follow it, act on it. I wanted to go in one ear and out the other ear. I didn't want anything to change in our relationship. I didn't want her to follow Jesus. I wanted her to follow me. A boyfriend or a girlfriend. The wrong kind of friends. You know, we were used to, in England, we used to go out witnessing on the streets. It was a lot easier to do over there because there's a lot of people on the streets. And Friday nights, many of the young people that had been born again through our ministry would come together, we'd meet, we'd pray, we'd go out and do some street evangelism, street preaching. And normally how I broke somebody in, if we ever go together, out, beware, I'll probably do the same to you. I see a bunch of hoodlums, youngsters, tattoos all over everywhere. I mean, there's one guy had an eyeball tattooed right in the middle of his head. I didn't know where to look. Anyway, they were skinheads. They wore spikes, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I'd see them out and I'd say, "Hey! You over there, come over here." No, look around. "Is he talking to us?" They come walking over, and I was with two or three guys that I was mentoring, and I said, "Hey, listen up. He's got something to say to you." And they swallow real big and start preaching the gospel. You know, it got to be to the point where they looked for us, and we weren't there one Friday night. And one of the main leaders of the group used to call me Jesus. He'd yell across the open market square. When I would be on one side, he'd be on the other. He'd say, "Hey, Jesus!" I'd wave back to him. Anyway, he came up to me one day. He said, "Hey, Jesus, where were y'all on Friday? We looked everywhere for you." But one of the things I started out to say, that was fun, but what I started out to say was, when I told them to listen to him, he was talking, this is a guy that got delivered from heroin, and he was talking to them, and he was saying about, "Don't let your friends hold you back. And one of the guys said, "I don't mind if I'm going to hell because I'm going with all my friends. We'll party down there forever." And he said, "No, you won't." He said, "Because you'll be looking at one another and pointing the finger at one another and say, 'If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here.'" And immediately they got quiet. That's the wrong kind of friend. Following society. Following the herd, but not the shepherd. And following the spirit of the age, which is deceiving the masses about what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. You know, there are people that would listen to this message today and think that I am the worst kind of person possible because I am trying to ruin everybody's good time. And that a person like me should be censored and canceled because I'm saying things that seem to be bigoted and wrong. Because in their mind, what God says is good is evil to them. And what God says is evil is good to them. They pursue everything. This is a twisted, messed up world that we live in, the spirit of the age. And there's always a few strongest points of all the evil that's being pressed. There's always something in a generation that rises to the top of it. In my generation, it was free love, free sex, get high. I think what they were encouraging teenagers at the time was tune in, turn on, and drop out. How many people dropped out of school because that was the spirit of the age? The spirit of this age is, I can determine and discern, is a strong pull towards homosexuality. And it is something that is prevalent to where that now becomes something that is protected, something that is precious to people. And people like us who love God enough to try to warn people that it's sin would try to cancel us and say that we're hate mongers. Listen, if you're in that lifestyle this morning, I don't hate you. I don't want bad things to happen to you. I'm just trying to warn you. I'm one of the road signs, the warning signs on the road saying you're going the wrong way. Destruction awaits. I'm not a bad person for trying to tell you the truth from God. They're not even my ideas. They're His. What kind of Christian would I be if I knew God stood for one thing and I totally stood for something else? And think about those of you who call yourselves Christians who are standing contrary to the will of God. You can't be a believer in Jesus and not honor His word. And then verses 11 through 24. Let's read there. This is the third shade of lost. First of all, we had the lost coin. The lost coin says, I didn't know that I was lost. It was all I ever remember knowing. My life and how I live my life, I never knew. Nobody ever told me that this condition wasn't normal. It's been my normal. I'm telling you today, God has a better plan for you. The lost sheep says, I didn't intend to get lost. It just happened. Then the lost son in verses 11 through 24 says, I don't call it lost. That's your term. I'm actually just out here trying to find myself. Well, you know what? You can't dig out of a hole and you can't find yourself. If you're lost, you cannot find yourself. You have to be found. Verses 11 through 24. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. Give me my inheritance. And I want it now. I don't want to wait till you die when it's too old for me to enjoy. I want it now. And he, the father, divided unto them his living. He gave him his share. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Children, swine means pigs. He sent him to feed the pigs. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He was so hungry he would have eaten the pig food, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came unto his father, but when he was yet a great way off, while he was walking, and just a little tiny speck on the horizon, his father was looking out there. I wonder what he was looking for. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. And fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and bring forth a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, let us eat and be merry." Listen to this. "For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. The lost son, he went on a journey. He took his inheritance. You know, the lost son, his departure wasn't like the sheep who just wandered off and just gradually got further and further away, not knowing that he was going towards anything in particular. Just one, as I said, nibble at a time, one bite of fresh grass at a time, got further and further away. That wasn't the case with the lost son and people who are like the lost son. The lost son's departure from that place of safety, from that place of love, from that place of goodness, his departure was deliberate. It was desired. It was premeditated. And it was fully intentional. He went on his journey into a far country. He wanted to get as far away as possible. "I don't even want to be able to remember what my dad looked like, what he sounded like. I don't want to remember the little talks that we had. I don't want to remember his warnings. I don't want anything to remind me of the life I used to have, all bound up without the freedom that I now feel." He wasted there all his substance. The Bible said he was committing riotous living. That word riotous means out of control. Out of control behavior, full of excess, drunkenness, debauchery. And then he ran out. He ran out of the funds that were helping him to live this lifestyle. A young man from Africa sent me a message the other day, and he was asking questions about the scripture, and he was saying, some of the things I don't understand. Why do some people have some and some people have nothing? And shouldn't a person who has always give to somebody who hasn't? And I told him, I said, "No, not necessarily. You have to be led by the Lord. Because if God is dealing with somebody and He is drying up their finances in order to move them to a different place, I don't want to be the cause of them having two or three more days in sin. You got to be careful who you give your money to. We need to be willing to give and ready to give and be giving people, but not just giving to anybody and everybody without understanding that perhaps they are in the place they're in because God's trying to get them to humble themselves and to turn from their ways. God's trying to say to people, it's not working for you, and I'm okay with that because I don't want you to live like that. But he joined himself to a citizen of that country where he was given the job of feeding the pigs. Where he desired the pigs' food, he was so hungry he would have eaten the pigs' food. Now the pigs, it was a famine in the land, so the pigs weren't getting really nice slop. They were getting the worst of the worst. That stuff that was rotten, that stuff had very little nutritional value. But he wanted to put something in his belly. So he would have even eaten the pig's food, but nobody would allow him to do that. And the Bible says he came to himself. All of a sudden, he had an awakening. You know what? This is not working out for me. This isn't all that I thought it was going to be. This isn't as fun as what I thought it was and what the world told me it was. He acknowledged the truth that he had wrecked his own life. But still he was aware enough to remember that there was a place where he could find true kindness and fairness. He repented, he humbled himself in his own mind and saw himself and his sin as being soundly and fundamentally and profoundly wrong. You know, repentance in the Bible, a lot of people talk about it, and it's a word that if you don't want to live for Jesus, you hate hearing it because it's a word that Bible thumpers will say. But all repentance means is to change and go the other direction. It starts off with a change of mind. How I used to think, I see it differently now. I have repented in my life. I repented when I came to Jesus, and I have been in the place of repentance ever since. Especially in the first few years of being a Christian, I started realizing how many things I learned wrong growing up. The society taught me, my friends, so-called friends taught me, the values that I had. I had to turn from that, but I had to see it in my mind first. You know what? I see what the Word of God says. I see what Jesus tells me to do and to be. And I see what I've grown up to be. I see who I am. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to live like that. I want to be the way He's called me to be. It's a turning around of the mind, which leads to a turning in your attitudes and actions. It means forsaking this and going after this. He repented and saw himself the way God was seeing him. He returned home, where he then humbled himself before the Lord and before his father. Dad, I'm so sorry. I realize what I've done is wrong. And Lord, I'm not asking you to put me back where I used to be. I know you probably gave my room to somebody else. I know my clothes probably belong to somebody else, somebody who's a better son to you than whatever it was. But Dad, I know you're a good man. I know you're a fair man. All I'm asking for is, can I be your servant? Can I live out in the field house in the bunk? Can I have what they eat, God? Dad, that looks so good to me. That life of having a place to sleep and warmth when I need warmth and cool when I need cool and a bath when I need bath and a food when I need food and somebody that says I care enough about you to be here for you. Dad, can I just be one of your hired servants? That is true repentance. And he was received by his father with open arms. You know, there were others that were present in the story. As the lost son was ruining his life, the so-called friends were there who traded their affection and their time and their energy for his substance. They traded what they would call friendship for what he could bring to them. Those who rode the horse until it dropped, then hopped off and began looking for another one to hop onto. I don't know how many times I've said this in my life, dealing with people in my own family and people. I've ministered this to people, countless people. A true friend is not somebody who could help you get to hell. A true friend is someone who will help you get to Jesus. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men, these men giving themselves to excess, shameth his father." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but as a companion, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You know, there were even others who took advantage and used him to get his money. The harlots that he purchased time with, the bartenders that served him drinks, the drug dealers, those that were in his life that were supplying his ungodly desires and doing so for money. Then there were those who interacted with him, knew that something wasn't right in his life, but didn't get involved. None of my business. The landlords where he stayed, surely they could hear the wild parties going on. Surely they knew the trash in the trash barrel the next day, that something, there was a lot of drinking going on. Surely the women going in and out all night long knew that something was amiss. How about the taxi drivers? Now just bear with me. I know they probably didn't have taxis back then, but they had ways of travel. But those who helped him get from place to place knew where he was coming from and where he was going. The shopkeepers, the ones that saw him buying the aspirin the next day for his hangover, the ones who saw him come in smelling like his own puke all over him, selling him the detergent to wash his clothes. The neighbors who live next door, brothers and sisters, there were people all around him. Who spoke into his life? Who said, "Buddy, I know I'm not your father. I know I'm nobody important in your life, but I see something going on with you that concerns me. Can I share with you?" How about his brother back home, his older brother back home, who himself was self-centered in his own way, who all he cared about was that young brat of a brother is gone. It's a lot more peaceful around here. Oh, no. Oh, dear God, he's back. And not only is he back, Dad's treating him like a hero. There's a lot of people that missed a good opportunity to show God's love, God's ways, God's compassion, to show that there's another way, a way out. But praise be to God, there was someone who really loved and cared about him, his father. The one who prayed and wept and watched and hoped. And in the midst of all of his pain, kept on living and running the farm in hopes that one day his son may come home and he would have a safe place to come home to. A place of provision for his son, perhaps once again. We're getting ready to close. In each case, excuse me, when the lost object was found, there was great rejoicing. Remember, the Lord does not rejoice in your downfall. He rejoices in your rising up. People who truly love you don't rejoice in your downfall. They rejoice when you get up. One of the things that's going on, it's not as powerful as the other things I was talking about, but one of the spirit of the age is going on is people rejoicing when people fall down. Brothers and sisters, that's not the mind of God. That's not the heart of God. We don't rejoice as Christians when things hit rock bottom. We know sometimes that has to happen for somebody to come to the end of themselves, but we don't rejoice with that. We rejoice when somebody starts their ascent. We rejoice not in someone being in the ditch, but we rejoice in being there to help them come out. You know, sin is the problem. Repentance and the turning to God is the answer. Lost is the condition. It may be your condition here this morning. It may be your condition as you're watching this online. Lost may be your condition. Saved is a condition that God wants for you, and that's why He's seeking for you. That may be why you feel Him speaking to your heart even right now. Wide is the road that you have chosen. Narrow is the road that He has for you. It doesn't include anything and everything. And you need to find out, to get into His Word and find out what He accepts and what He doesn't accept. It's narrow. It doesn't include everything, but it does include Him. It includes His Holy Spirit and it includes people of God who love you and will walk with you. And I have found that that is enough. I don't need a road that includes anything more than that. Pain and destruction in this life are roadsides, are warning signs that are negative and saying that there is more pain ahead. Life, health, and peace are road signs that are positive, saying this is the plan of God for you. This is what I have for you. Not only do I have an eternal home for you, but I want to bless you in this life as well. Hell is the final destination of those who do not repent and turn to the Lord. Hell is the ultimate loss. Heaven is the final destination for anyone who is submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and lives for Him and allows Him to rule their lives. It's the ultimate gain. I want to encourage you this morning to let go of the stuff that is keeping you lost. Let go of the attitudes. Let go of the desires. Let go of your own way. Let go of these things that are keeping you lost and separated from God and in bondage to sin and to death. And grab hold of Jesus. When He reaches out to save you, I beg of you, don't say, that's okay. As they say in England, that's okay, mate. I'm all right. Realize your condition And I believe right now, if the Lord has been speaking to you, there's something stirring on the inside that says, he's been talking to me. Not the bald guy with a white beard. He was just a mouthpiece, but I've heard God on the inside. And if he has been speaking to you today, I beg of you, repent of your sins. Repent of your own way of living life according to your plan, and accept him and his way. None of the three shades of lost have to be your life in this life, nor do they have to be your eternity. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite anybody who may be here today, and I don't know that there are, but I'm going to make this invitation anyway. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you felt him speak to you today, and you know that your condition is lost. It's described in many other ways. But this morning, what the Holy Spirit is pressing, lost, and you know you're lost. You're either the lost coin, you're the lost sheep, or you're the lost son, but you're lost. One of those shades of lost is all over you, and you know it. Then don't let this day go by without your turning to the Lord and repenting. So we're going to keep the Facebook Live continuing to go for a moment, because this applies to anybody listening online as well. I want you right where you are. We're not going to play any little games. I'm not saying everybody does this is playing a game, but it would be playing a game for me if I did it. I'm not going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes, and raise your hand while nobody's looking. You know, because that may work for some, but I understand that once you walk out of here, people are looking. So might as well make a decision for Jesus while people who love you are looking. So right where you are, if you believe the Lord has spoken to you and you want to do business with God today, with everybody looking, would you just raise your hand and say, "It was me this morning. He's spoken to me." We're not going to belabor the point. We're not going to sing "Just As I Am" 20 times. And again, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with any of it. It's just he hadn't called me to do that this morning. Anybody here say, "The Lord has spoken to me. I realize that I have been living a life where I am one of these shades of lost, and I want him to find me this morning." Anybody? All right, for those of you who are watching online, the call is to you as well. Right where you are, if that was you, here's what I want you to do. Tell the Lord, "Lord, I have been wrong. I repent. I see, just like the lost son, I see where everything that I was headed for has led me to places that I didn't think I'd go, caused me to do things I didn't think I would do, and brought me to a place that is not good for me. Lord, I repent. I want to walk your way. I want to change and go your direction. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life." I want you to pray in your own words, because it's not the words that you pray so much as your heart. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you and to make you his, to take you in as a child of God and transform your life. Not just to forgive you, to go on the way you were living with a clean slate, but to actually transform you and make you new. Then I want you to find a good Bible-believing church where people can love you and help you grow in the Lord. And if God has spoken to you in any way, and if you're online, could you just give us a little message and let us know that God has touched you? We're going to close right now in prayer, and I'm going to pray for everybody. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people that are sitting here present this morning. I thank you, Lord, for those who are listening right now live. online. I thank you for those who will listen throughout the rest of this week and for months and months to come. Lord, I pray that souls will be saved for your glory. Lord, I pray that people will come to the place where they say, I can't live like this any longer. I can't live in my lost condition. I need Jesus. And Lord, that they would follow you, repent, turn to you, receive your forgiveness, receive your transformation, and be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Get involved in a local church where they can learn and grow and be discipled in your ways. Be useful for your kingdom. Pray for everybody here, everybody watching. And Lord God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.